Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday night. You're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith. And this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we also have anthologies available on amazon.com. So feel free to check those out. And help support the shows. That'd be great. All right, that said, tonight's show is based on picks from the blank permission list as well as some open poetry. And I'm going to check the studio real quick here. Hello, and welcome to the show, Weaver.
Hello, my dear.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've not had any sleep yet, and it is 3 o'clock, but I seem to be amazingly wide awake.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you have a powerful nighttime, that's for sure.
I'm a 22-hour-a-day woman. That's about as much as I get in a day. Yeah, I'm surprised my poor brain isn't frazzled, although it probably is.
Absolutely. No, I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to bring on another caller here. Moo. Hello, Pam.
Moo. Hello, hello. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Gray. Good to hear you both.
I love to hear you too, my dear.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to have you both with us. All right, so we're going to start off the show with a SoundCloud here. This is by Titus Llewellyn, and I have a SoundCloud for this, so I'll play that.
Sancta Seeds. Ad te tempieto, a vision of Beatrice Densei. Her severed head she carries from the Sant'Angelo Bridge. Surrounding features bring her near, though small in comparison, drawn to the Tempietto. She is associated with this reminder, overheard in my conversation with Paul from the ceiling, conveyed from scripture. It gives good reason why she rose, entering the artist from above as the confessor to the popes. And should some transparency come from the dark as popes, they shall arrive. Therefore each column's reach shall bridge a welcome for her soul as this martyr she, this solitary rose foundations rise to accommodate a time frame comparison. An elevation of successive thrones dismantle from the ceiling. Transfiguration, the high geniculum, shares this as a reminder. Lashes which hold down the dome leave from each reminder. An allegoric sibyl, descending prominence upon all the popes, supply the first chapel, a flagellation shown from that ceiling. Attributes the term to justify it would sincerely want to bridge, forgiveness with pain incurred, again to share no comparison, mistreated by her father, to that point of incest, a demon rose. The gifts that the heavens had distributed, the virtues arose without light amid darkness, hope sensing a slight reminder. We'll concede that an exterior courtyard shares no comparison with this evil looming. She brings this attention to the popes, that my being there as witness have strange feelings to bridge between living and the spiritual being. I am talking to the ceiling. Innocenzo di Occhi del Monte says, great concern of ceiling. It appears fifth chapel holds a funerary theme. A scent rose my suspicion. Her needless desires beckon vassals to bridge the quandary between a lover and father, to halt this reminder to him. Pope Clement the VII shows Sant'Angelo Bridge Pope's leniency as a common faith with its people, no comparison. Unlike its people, disowned, tried to purport with a comparison, whom he determined to save the elect, you falsify the ceiling at the Tempietto. It's remarkably single-minded, like all popes. The mocking of her agony has now determined she who rose. Oh, Jesus Christ, how small-minded are you? As the reminder with the thorns crown defender of the faith, a worthy bridge. How from here to the ceiling can a prayer vouch that it rose? From a faith should it bridge between another like reminder, that wishful thinking all popes find for keeps a comparison.
Well, that was a beautiful read and a wonderful SoundCloud. I really like the music that accompanied his read. He says in his author's notes, this is based on prompt one, Beatrice Cenci, 6 February 1577 to 11 September 1599, was a young Roman noblewoman who murdered her father, Count Francisco Cenci. Subsequent lurid murder trial in Rome gave rise to the enduring legend about her. She was condemned and beheaded for the crime in 1599. Wow, that's epic. What a story. You know, it's very deeply, passionately penned. You can feel his, you know, his passion and his write. It's a beautiful write. You know, it's very descriptive and thoroughly engaging from start to finish. Lashes which hold down the dome leave from each reminder an allegoric syllable, civil, descending prominence upon all the popes, supply the first chapel of flagellation shown from that ceiling, tributes the term to justify it would, sincerely want to bridge forgiveness, with pain incurred again, shared no comparison, mistreated by her father to that point of incest, a demon rose. You know, that's just dark and nasty, that a father could do that to his daughter, you know, a demon he made of her, and it's very tragic and sad. Very haunting, right? What did you think, Weaver?
I agree. It is very, very deep, and there's a lot of passion put into this. I suppose when you think about it, we are quite civilized now, but in times like that, women were basically a chattel. They were, you know, they were owned. In England, a woman's money, if you had money, was her husband's, and that was it. She had nothing to say about it. So, you know, women were always treated that way, and that is, it seems to be something to do with power, but incest, you know, it's just not acceptable. And I don't, you know, she must have got to the point where she couldn't take it any longer, and that happens. And so she had her revenge, but she was very badly treated. Very, very powerful. And it's, yeah, something I hadn't known anything about. So learning something new every day. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I have to say kudos to Weaver for her comment, because that's exactly what I was going to focus on, too, was that this speaks of a time when women weren't supposed to stand up for themselves and probably weren't giving fair trials. And as you were, you said, Weaver, were treated like cattle and basically owned. What I really like about this rite is that, well, first of all, the SoundCloud is beautifully done with the haunting music, but this perfectly describes the trials of life that this young woman went through, and the AN really adds to that. But if you didn't have the AN and you just had the poem by itself, it would stand on its own as a powerful poem. I really particularly like the gifts that the heavens have distributed, the virtues, rose without light and darkness, hope sensing a slight reminder, will concede that an exterior courtyard shares no comparison with this evil looming. She brings this attention to the popes. And, you know, as a young woman of that time, that had to have been very difficult to bring to the attention of the church leaders. You know, so just a powerful rite and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind reading that for me, please, Weaver.
Yes, of course. Just give me a moment there. and refresh. Never works, but I try it. Oh, it's still not there. Come on, you.
I'll repeat.
I'll get it. It's no,
go.
It's not there for me. Oh, there we are. Unbroken solitude. Yeah, got it. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Here we are. Oh, lovely picture. When winter pours ice into the sky's palms and then sprinkles it over the shivering world as a rejected bench in a secluded spot, tonight would be another lonely night. When the forest crawls under her icy sheets and the pompous wind fingers his loud guns as a floating leaf in the middle of nowhere, tonight would be another lonely night. When frost roofs leaves pale skin and the flowers left to die on the slope, as an outcast lake forced to abide in the exile, tonight would be another lonely night. When trees stand out extremely gaunt and the birds thrown in the hungry wild, as a widow river with uneasy thought currents, tonight would be another lonely night. When the sun snuggles up and stays indoors and animals fell into troubled sleep, as an old maid with only a cat for company, tonight would be another lonely night. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, I liked it. You know, it's based on a musical, unanswered musical questions contest. And, you know, this really did have a lyricism to it, you know, with its repetition of tonight would be another lonely night. I mean, that's almost a song title right there. And I really liked each lonely scene that she paints with each stanza. You know, it's very heartfelt and emotive throughout. When the sun snuggles up and stays indoors, the animals fell into a troubled sleep, as an old maid with only a cat for company tonight would be another lonely night. Yeah, just a powerful poem. Beautiful job, Rhonda. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful. You know, the imagery fits in the poem, fits the picture prompt so well. She really takes and personifies winter and uses it as an extended metaphor for that loneliness that you get in the end, as you come into the end stanza, with the old man mentioned, and she brings the humanity and life into it. You know, and animals fell into a troubled sleep as an old maid, with only a cat for company. Tonight will be another lonely night. I like that, and I also like when the forest crawls under her icy sheets and the pompous wind fingers his loud guns. The wonderful use of imagery and personification, and just very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Well, I'm feeling the shivers already. Whoa, very well done. Very well done indeed. I particularly liked the first stanza because it was, I just thought it was lovely. When winter pours ice into the sky's palms and then sprinkles it over the shivering world as a rejected bench in a secluded spot, tonight would be another lonely night. Oh, so sad. But, well, you know, at least the lady, the old maid, was inside and warm with her cat. So that's a pleasant thought, isn't it? Even though it was lonely, it wasn't too horrible. But I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Beautifully written. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Yeah, Pam, I'm posting the next one, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. I would be happy to. This is When I Sleep by Andre de Corbin, and it goes like this. My bed rises gently, a small raft floating on the winding river of time. Eyes closed, I ask the river why clocks spoke Russian all day. Rain in my sleep traces poems, stanzas falling Cyrillic across slanted roofs and streets leading to dead ends. The blinding glare of water changes everything, so when I wake, my bed floats back through curtained windows, and the bedroom door, which tries way too hard to remain open, to voices of intelligentsia ask, why does time break away from all clocks when we sleep? End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And in this author's notes, he says, people, the task in this contest is to write about dreams. Have you ever dreamed that you came awake only to find out later you just went from one dream to another? So that's the basis of this prompt. And, you know, it has wonderful imagery, and, you know, it's wonderful how our mind is in a different place, you know, away from time, when all, you know, away from all clocks when we sleep. You know, it's timeless, and it's boundless, really. And I thought it was a fascinating write on the subject of sleeping. So just a beautiful job. Yeah, what did you think, Weaver?
I don't think I'm the best person to make any comments about floating in beds and dreams. I've forgotten what that feels like. But yes, this is lovely. I thought it was really, you know, the beginning. The bed rises gently, a small raft floating on the winding river of time. Eyes closed, I asked the river why. Clock spoke Russian all day. Takes you right into it, doesn't it? So dreams are just the weirdest, awful things sometimes. And sometimes they're wonderful. And so this is explaining more or less how it feels to feel as if you've gone from one dream to another and without waking up in between. It's rather odd, isn't it? I thought it was lovely. I thought it was very well done. It was very abstract, which is always interesting to me, because I'm looking at something and thinking, right, I know you're saying this, but what exactly are you meaning? What's behind it in your mind? So I do like that. Makes me thinking it's good fun. So thank you, Andre. It was well done, and I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, you read it. What did you think?
I really enjoyed and appreciated this one. The imagery was beautiful and brilliant. You know, I thought it was an excellent write on the whole idea of how the mind works differently. You know, when you're asleep and the subconscious brings forth dreams. And then how, as you were mentioning, Gray, time works differently. Like you can have a dream where you've spent days wandering around, but it was in reality only an hour. And it's always fascinating how that can happen. You know, excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next write-up. This is by Sonia 3902Z, and it's called Barn Bats. Bats live in my dilapidated barn. They have overtaken the loft and hang upside down to rest on the rafters during the day. Upon midnight, they come out to play and foam. And isn't that a lovely little poem on the lives of bats and, you know, the roles that they play in our life? Bats live in my dilapidated barn. Yeah, they usually do, or an old loft or something. And I remember, you know, we had a hunting and fishing camp, and it was the loft was full of these bats, and so we had to clean them out and you know, get them out of there and clean up the dung, and you know, it was a heck of a mess, but you know, they are a beautiful creature, even though they're kind of horrid at the same time. You know, they do keep down the bug population, for sure. So, fantastic write, Sonia. Pleasure to read it as well. What did you think, Weaver?
That's beautifully written. Yeah, really good. I've had to move my page up a bit because that bat was looking straight at me. So now he's away, I don't see him, so I'm all right. Yes, they've overtaken the loft and hang upside down to rest on the rafters during the day. Upon midnight, they come out to play. Yes, it's a kind of a nice bouncy one, isn't it? It's kind of sweet and happy and bouncy. I couldn't be sweet and happy and bouncy around bats. So I think you'd have to get used to them before you could feel that comfortable. But I think it was beautifully written. And there's a lot of, you know, caring for the rats. Bats. That's what they're called, though, aren't they? Flying rats, possibly. Yes, that's a good one. My mind's gone that way. But yes, I thought it was very well done and it's beautifully written. Thank you so much for allowing us to share that, Sonia.
Thank you, Weaver. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this. It's a nice brevity, and it's great how in only five lines she gave wonderful attention to detail about the bats and their habitat. Now, me, when it comes to bats, I honestly can go outside and love watching them, you know, just fly around. They're fascinating. But get one that comes into my house, and I will freaking flip out. I remember one time when my oldest was like 2 years old, I went into her bedroom to check on her, and there was a bat on the wall right above her head. And she's like 21 now. And I just so remember flipping out, like just, oh my God. It was like, I swear to God, you think there was a mass murderer above my child's head the way I woke up the whole household. But anyways, yeah, but bats, you're right. No, you know, I do have this irrational fear of bats when they get in my house, but you're right, Gray. They are actually amazing animals because they do definitely keep those mosquito populations down, and they're fascinating to watch as they fly. So, but I do enjoy this brevity. It's very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yes, of course. Happy to. If I can get past the bats. Be fresh. Ah, got it. Good, though. The Council Knows by Wayne Gent. As predicted, the Earth will be demolished soon. Once again, Earth will reunite with the Moon. Sky will be colorful, turning into a lovely peach. In about 3 weeks, our doomsday will reach. Our prediction is known by several connected men. It will be a Thursday afternoon when it is to begin. The Earth will quake as the oceans begin to boil. Rivers stop flowing, blocked by shifting topsoil. Our esoteric theory, most people won't understand. Deductions established point to the end of man. Secret is held by an enlightened inner circle of members. Get prepared. There will not be any more Septembers. End quote.
Great read. Would you mind reading the SoundCloud, please?
Yeah, of course. This poem was written to give an example of what an esoteric event would look like. The poem was written for a contest hosted by James George, 103 words. And we have theory, earth, esoteric, destruction, and rhyme.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed it. You know, it really speaks to the enlightenment of some against others, and, you know, to the point of seeing the world's end. And, you know, that's a powerful thing. I mean, shaman used to connect from places around the world, from different races, and share knowledge, you know, through psychic abilities. So I really can relate to this, you know, because of that history of the medicine men in natives and their connection to other psychics from other races around the world. So beautiful, right? And excellent read. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a great write. You know, and I really like your comment there, Gray, because it helped me see the poem in a new way because, you know, the poem I saw is this, like, epic tale of a doomsday and a warning. And you helped to remind me that, you know, that such powers exist and that while this is a made-up story, it is also a possible reality that can happen, especially if we keep ignoring the Earth and those that speak for her. I really like our prediction is known by several connected men. It will be a Thursday afternoon when it is to begin. The Earth will quake as the oceans begin to boil. Rivers stop flowing, blocked by shifting topsoil. Great imagery and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
All right. This is Inferno by Daniel Deschino. Abandoned to the hellfire of earthly existence, are we all upon entering life, and for the hand of Virgil I reach, hopelessness I find, as he is nowhere in sight. Demons and devils, temptresses and sirens, challenge the eternity of soul. But march on do I, if St. Peter's judgment I wish to force, through the lure and logic of doubters and disbelievers, and with reason in what I know, guides an easy path, and faith in what I don't, calls me to further my quest. And with discovery of life comes discovery of pleasures, from the temptation of the siren song to the gluttonous grasp of devouring carnage. I live life's lust, but Dionysus be not the god I seek, for it's through his craving he seeks satisfaction when craving never ends. And when my desire took over, so did the greedy grasp of my weaknesses and take advantage and leave me with nothing but emptiness. They are sorry souls that take and take for what I'm where I'm going. No possessions can be brought. In pondering reflection of the selfishness of men, anger overtakes. Curse those wicked men who take what they do not need from those that do. What kind of world is this? Mankind's day driven by meaningless self-satisfaction. What kind of God creates a world for his children filled with such torment? For all I have seen, I know now nothing but rage, and at this moment does rage overtake. For on the common street that I walk, within the common town that I live, I witness to what I judge to be a criminal act, and with violent words do I confront the guilty, and so with violence am I met, blood and pain my reward, and my companions into the unconscious. Upon awakening, frightening shame takes over, for I had become the devil's pawn for what I have, all I have done. Of what other horrors does past remembrance hold? Of what fraud and treachery have I laid down in the name of my quest? I lay here bruised and battered in the trenches of my own furious temper, a fraudulent shell of a man once born. I can think of nothing but my own treacherous past and those I have betrayed, owned by pleasure, fooled into heresy, consumed by anger. I feel so cold, like there's no warmth in my life, and in this realm of ice and frozen wind, I trudge forward only to meet my fate to Satan himself. Years upon years, walking in regret, till the memories that haunted me face like an ancient weathered cemetery. An old and broken man, I know who I am. I have seen the hells that the earth does offer, and I've been through the hells that I have created, and I can finally see the end. Satan himself up ahead, buried to the waist with the ice world that I walk. So enormous is he, one can only barely see his head from the ground as I walk up to him and I watch as he scans the horizon looking over all. And now standing directly in front of him, I know that down through the ice, climbing down the body of Satan himself is the way out. A noise from above like a machine crying calls, and I look up and he is staring directly at me. He calls my name in a more comforting voice than I expected and says, do you think you deserve to live this place? No, I answer, not more than any other. And he turns his gaze away. Down his body I climb for months of scenes. Down slowly turns to up. A golden staircase ahead laced with blue and green. And more scared now than I have ever been, I head upward and pray. End poem.
Well, that's an epic rite on, you know, walking this earth in the hell that it is. You know, it's based on a prompt, prompt 9. It says, "Hell is empty and the devils are here," by Shakespeare. And, you know, we do live in a world full of devils, you know, and there's it's also filled with angels as well. So, you know, unfortunately, we have to live this yin and yang of existence and, you know, trudge through the monotony of life and the hell that it is. And, you know, it's a wonderful rite on heaven and hell, you know. It's really fascinating. I really enjoyed the whole rite. You did a beautiful read on it as well, Pam. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, very, very good read, Pam. It was well done. Really good poem. Very deep. I liked it a lot because it's basically it's a cry from the heart. You know, we are killing ourselves and our planet. Nobody's caring and nobody's listening. And horror and fraud and treachery and money is the god. Knowledge gets you nothing really nowadays unless you can find some way to get money. That's all that people care about, and that's so, so bad. But, yeah, sorry, that's all I have to say, but it was really, really fascinating, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. And Pam, what did you think?
This was definitely powerful and epic, brilliant imagery. He has a great talent for storytelling. And, you know, it was a long poem, but it was a poem that kept your attention all the way through. And I really like how this is basically, to me, about a guy who is trying to get out of hell and blaming everyone else for him being there, blaming the rest of the world, and then realizing his own sins, his own weaknesses. And he is only able to be released from hell when he realizes that, you know, he doesn't deserve to get out of there any more than anyone else. So he becomes more humble at that moment and then is able to find his way out. So just an amazing rite and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And I have the next write up, and I'll go ahead and give this a read. First, I'm going to check the phone lines here for Miss Lee Wild Dove. Here she is. Lou,
hi, Gray.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, hello. Not exactly. Hi. Kisses to everybody. I'm not sure who's on, but I will know when you start commenting or laughing or crying.
We were okay.
Hey, Weaver. Hey, Pam.
Hi, honey bun.
Happy to be here with you guys.
Happy
Absolutely.
To hear you.
Did you get a chance to hear Daniel's poem?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Okay. I've got the next write-up, and this is by Wayward Son. It's called A Broken Moon. She said, "The rain is coming, but I didn't smell anything that once called itself a cloud. Leaping from the sky, pierce piece at a time to impale on branches or leave brief stains on thirsty sidewalks. And yes, dents on the water, distorting what was once the perfect reflection of a broken moon. Despite our hungers, it dangled like the brass pendulum of a dart, of a clock that nobody remembers, a time forgotten. Though I have become more than adept at gazing upon one object while longing for another, now the moon lingers as if waiting for me to speak. How nestled in its lonely pocket of sky. I knew that feeling once, before the rain revealed itself, not as gentle drops of comfort, but as a flood of something lost." End poem. And he says in his author's note, he says, "I chose prompt 3. Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass." And that's by Anton Chiklov. So, yeah, that was a wonderful write. You know, it's very haunting in its loneliness. You know, you feel a certain disconnect from a world that you once lived. You know, it's as a flood of something lost is the ending line. So I thought it was, you know, it really is fascinating, right, on the subject of a broken moon and being broken yourself. So I thought it was just a fantastic write. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree with you. Definitely fantastic. I kind of, you know, I see this quote, "Don't tell me the moon is shining, show me the glint of light on broken glass." Anton Chekhov. That is the thing that I find the hardest. You know, show, don't tell. Because I will tell you. This is what I'm writing, and I will tell you. So I find it very difficult to wax lyrical. I always have done. I'm a kind of, there's my shoes. They're not called slippers, they're called shoes. That's it. So I love this because it's the very thing that I cannot do. And you have dents on the water distorting what was once a perfect reflection of a broken moon, which is exactly what the quote was asking for. Don't tell me, show me. Yeah. So very well done. And I'm going to use this as my new tool to try and remind me of how to do it properly. So thank you so much, Jerry. Thank you, Weaver son.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautiful. Amazing imagery and metaphors throughout. I have to agree with Weaver. He does a great job of showing it and not telling. I also like the emotional impact in this. To me, it spoke on the idea of how over the years our perspective can change, especially as we go through different mm-hmm. circumstances and how we oftentimes try to hold on to memories in hopes that they'll again become reality, but it's always futile holding on. So just an amazing write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, I thought that he did a fantastic job. You're going to have to excuse my voice because I've been coughing. This was just, it was emotional to me. It was personal. You know, where it, you know, he said, she said, the rain is coming. And it's not anything that once called itself a cloud. And then he goes on to appeal on branches, you know, on leaf brief stains on thirsty sidewalks. You know, and sometimes we do that to ourselves, you know. We can't see what's coming. And then we impel ourselves on things that we can't, instinct things that we can't remove. And, you know, and for me, you know, sometimes, you know, where he says, yes, dents on the water distorting what once was the perfect reflection of a broken moon. You know, to me, that's when you have two different individuals that are broken and hurt in some way, and yet they form this beautiful stained glass of this moon that is in the sky. And, you know, and it says, you know, for me, we have to adapt to each other because each of us is an individual and a different person. And, you know, sometimes people forget that and they lose sight of that. Like Pam brings out that, you know, we change through time and can see things through time. And like he says here, I know that feeling once before the rain revealed itself. Not as gentle drops of comfort, but a flood of something lost. You know, the love that is lost between these two people that made that beautiful stained glass moon.
Yeah, great comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, Lee, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay.
If you think you can.
Let me refresh. Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
Here we go. In our hearts, thy neutron bomb, urns of ashes in a row, waiting for commemoration in a humble chapel, simple, single glazed window devoid of stained glass lit decor. A cracked vessel that beats to the underbelly of King's Cross adorns the lavender painted walls, and a weak old bread from the kitchen is doled out as Eucharist. Camarillo Mill served in an open air arena nestled amongst ibis as dense as flock of sheep. COVID safe planes in place to protect the most vulnerable. Water crackles and boils in the gas-warm coffee urns to serve those sleeping rough on streets and couches of inner Sydney. Warm their cockles with radiant smiles. Toiletries, travel art kits, water bottles and bags collected for streeties and the family. Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight and bless those who have passed in the year of lockdown, digging pockmarked holes in our hearts in poem.
You know, I really liked it. It was very intriguing and definitely engaging. You know, it's a powerful write on the subject of losing ones to who leave pockmarked holes in our heart. And I just thought it was a fantastic, epic write. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, this is beautifully done. And this is a horrible thing for people to have to cope with. And the fact that these selfless, incredibly wonderful people go out and help. Mm-hmm. They will do, you know, there are so many people sleeping rough in every big city. Every big city has these. And for sometimes it's not their fault. It's not something they've done. It's what life has done to them. And they end. And once you get on the streets, once you've got no address, life is nigh on impossible because you can't get any help because you don't have an address to prove who you are, where you are. You know, it's a horrible situation to be in. I would never, I don't know what I'd do. But look at that. Basically, we're being told that they're doing their best. They're collecting things that they can give to people on the streets to make life a little bit easier for them. So I bow my head to these people who go out and give their time to try and help other people. Wonderful, wonderful things they do. This is a beautiful piece of poetry. And thank you so much for sharing it. I thought it was very good news on Bond.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, Neutron always impresses me with her writing. It's powerful here. I like how she writes about charity from the heart. But it speaks to me on the idea of how during Christmas time, you know, holiday time, that charity is much more prevalent and that we easily forget that people, you know, have needs that need to be met other times of the year. I really like a cracked vessel that beats to the underbelly of King's Cross, adorns the lavender painted walls, and weak old bread from the kitchen is doled out at Eucharist. And then water crackles and boils in the gas-warm coffee urns to serve those sleeping rough on the streets and couches of inner Sydney, warm their cockles with radiant smiles. You know, I like how that speaks on the idea of giving warmth to those who need it. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lou, you read it. What did you think?
You know, this, it saddened me because my first cousin that I grew up with died from COVID last year. And, you know, for me, this poem is very special because I want to give special thanks to the EMTs, to the nurses, and to the doctors that have cared for all these COVID patients that have given and sometimes even their lives in care of their patients. And it does leave a hole in our hearts and they need to be thanked for so very much, even the firemen. And, you know, it doesn't take much to give of your heart, water bottles, artwork, little toys, bags, you know, that, you know, sometimes they can collect at your door, or that you can give small funds, or if you're around that area, to just hand a child a small little toy. You know, it is very hard to see these people out on the street who lost their homes and their jobs because of COVID. And, you know, we need to think about how we treat each other as human beings. And I do believe that love is the strongest emotion, and giving is the next strongest emotion. And we need to thank everybody that has helped us and served us throughout a horrible season that we're still experiencing.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lee. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Naomi to the show. Hello, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi, honey.
I hope everybody is doing good. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
Yeah, that was really, you know, deep and profound and so well written, with vivid descriptions throughout. Neutron Bomb just has this way of writing that's really, expresses well the emotions that she wants us to feel, and we really feel them through this write. So well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And you called just in time for your read, if you wouldn't mind.
Naomi? You still there? Maybe she's on mute.
Yeah, I'm on mute.
Okay.
This is one I wrote, of course, for Pam and Rex's show, so Pam will remember it, but I changed it a bit. I studied Bukowski and I changed some parts. What would Bukowski do? Would he walk through some park to keep his mind sharp, or just because it's a riot, his head throbbing to jittery bluebirds, listening to a little Mahler or Tchaikovsky, just because it's the right kind of rhythm to walk to? Would he stroll down a slum city street where the earth punches out of work for a while, opening to your graffiti body, belly, so you can check out her rusted chain fences inside before she slurps you down with an acidic digestive squeeze and then belches you out through her turnstiles to where the hobos are washed with spit from the clouds and the subway exhaust always hangs in your hair and traffic squeals and grinds up and down your eyeballs. Would he stop as he noticed the young girl in the window gazing out on sheets of rain flapping across the sky like giant, teary spirits, her fingertips pressed on the glass cold, and think to himself, she looks sweeter than a cone of ice cream, her skin prettier than chocolate, her kiss a swirl of pure vanilla, dreaming, if only I'd met her yesterday, I'd love to undress and caress her, lay her naked on my bed, wondering what the girl he was supposed to meet would think of him laying there, bathing in the perfume of another. Or perhaps not give a damn about it at all, because anyway, he couldn't do a bloody thing about it now. Then he'd return home alone after the wind lifts the beggar from his bed of trash and blows solitude through shattered trees to the empty pubs at the road's end. He'd swallow down a bottle, staring at a grayish, sleeveless undershirt He'd hung over the back of a chair, its original color not quite clear, but presumably white, and that rip that was never mended. And then after a cigarette or two, remember he had to feed the cats. End poem.
Beautiful read. And that was a wonderful write. You know, we really captured the essence of Bukowski's wrote that write. And I thought you did a marvelous job of emanating his style. You know, it really does capture his essence, you know. Would he stop as he noticed the young girl in the window gazing out on the street, sheets of rain flapping across the sky like giant teary spirits, her fingertips pressed on the glass cold, and think to himself, she looks sweeter than a cone of cream, her skin prettier than chocolate, her kiss a swirl of pure vanilla. Dreaming, if only I had met her yesterday, I'd love to undress and caress her, lay her naked in my bed, wondering what the girl was supposed to, that he was supposed to meet, would think of him laying there, bathing in the perfume of another. That's so Bukowski, you know. It's epic, right? Very well done. And beautiful, beautiful job. Thank you, Naomi. Weaver,
thank
what did you,
you
think?
Greg.
Absolutely.
Okay, yes, I'm here. I thought it was beautiful, Naomi. I don't actually know Bukowski, so I have to plead ignorance there. But I can enjoy what you've written, and I can look him up after, and then it will make everything 10 times better. But for what it's worth, I thought that it was a beautiful piece of poetry. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of. It was intense in its simplicity. You could see that there was an awful lot going on in the head of the person and in the world of the person. But as I say, I would have to look into it more to be more accurate. So what I'll do is, I'll do that, and I'll leave a lovely comment. So please excuse me for not saying anything else, because I don't know nothing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacey.
Sorry, folks, I have to admit my ignorance when I don't know something, because I don't want to waffle. Even though I do. So, but I certainly will.
An expert on Bukowski.
Oh, good.
So he can give you a few hints.
Thank you so much. I'll be coming to see you, Pam.
Pam, what's your thought?
Oh, I really enjoyed this one. It's one that's definitely worth hearing over and over again. I like that the title is The Question, and the poem gives us the answer in such a biting and humorous way. You know, first of all, his head throbbing to Jittery Bluebirds gives a great nod to Bukowski's poem, There's a Bluebird in My Heart. And then, you know, throughout you capture his attitude, his problems with drinking. And of course, at the end, anybody who knows Bukowski knows he had a great love for his cats. So you go through all of the stuff that he'd be going through, wondering about this young woman wanting to make love to her. And then after a cigarette or two, remember he had to feed the cat. And so just another wonderful nod to Bukowski and his life. And, great bit of humor that had me smiling. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Liu, what are your thoughts?
You know, I this is so well written to his personality and his lifestyle. I could just see him in clothes from the night before that he hasn't changed, and I could smell the drink and a cigarette that, you know, that permeates when you're in a room sitting writing poetry and not coming out. No, but, you know, he always wrote poetry that, you know, just up in the face fact, in your face, whether you liked it or not, you know, that slummy type of poetry that he would belch out. And of course, the women that he just, you know, tossed like his dirty clothes, you know, he would be sleeping with one and thinking of the other and thinking of the one that's over there, you know, that insatiable appetite that he had. And I really liked how you closed it, like Pam brought out about how he always had to feed his cat. But, you know, I thought you caught him here when you said, hold on. There's one that you caught so well that I just really, really liked it. Right here it says, so you can check out her rusted chain fenced inside before she slurps you down with an acidic digestive squeeze and then belches you out through her turnstile. I just thought, man, you nailed it there, Naomi. Fantastic. I love this poem. It is deep and gritty, and it's a matter of fact.
Great comment. Thank you. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
I just love Bukowski. You know, it's straightforward. It's gritty rawness. I try to write a lot in that style, especially for After Midnight shows, which I haven't been doing much lately. Sorry, Pam. And, I just like that, you know, just saying things as they are and, you know, the raw and the grittiness of life, just putting it out there. So it's one of my my favorite poets that I like to go to.
Well, we will definitely have to run another Bukowski contest sometime soon and make sure you write for that, Naomi.
Uh-huh. Really? Yes. Thank you.
Okay, Weaver, you're up next, please, and thank you.
Okay. Oh, this is me. Okay. Chassert by moi. You slip and slide into my mind. Familiar, loved, and very dear to me. We're both artists, I with paper and pen, you with brushes and paints. I struggle with my muse, so elusive, always that one solitary step ahead, while you, with an enclave of jolly daubers, live life without constraints. I think of you in your studio, you are very close, yet out of my reach. My heart contracts and tightens with a sudden wild need for you. I want to feel the feather-like strokes of your soft lips caressing me. As I think of being in your arms, my love, my breath is restricted too. I'm here, outside the door. All is quiet within. Might this mean for once we can be alone? I slip like a shadow into the room, eyes adjusting, dust motes dancing in a shaft of sharp sunlight, piercing through a rip in the curtains, and find you both in bed. It matters not who she is, only that you needed to replace me. This time the sword is mightier than the pen, so this will end. Father taught me well, so I put my past training to good use. I pick up his sword and coolly dispatch my lover and his friend. End poem.
Excellent read, and I really liked it. You know, it's dark, but it's fantastically penned and deeply engaging. You know, you really carry your love and your desire through this first couple of stanzas, and then I'm here outside the door, all is quiet within. Might this mean for once that we can be alone? I slip like a shadow into the room, eyes adjusting, dust notes dancing in the shaft of sharp sunlight, piercing through a rip in the curtains, and find you both in bed. Don, don, don. And then, you know, this time the sword is mightier than the pen, so this will end. Father taught me well, so I put my past training to good use. I pick up the sword and coolly dispatch my lover and his friend. Ooh. Very dark and excellent right, and a beautiful read as well. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing that, Weaver. Great job. And Pam?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
This This is great. As always, Weaver, you have a strength for storytelling. I love the first-person narrative, the strong feminist voice about, you know, a woman who is an artist and a warrior and, you know, won't put up with any crap, you know. And I like how, you know, it has that feel of hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. All the way through, you just grab and keep our attention. I particularly like the ending stanza and then the sensuality and longing, and I want to feel the feather-like strokes of your soft lips caress me as I think of being in your arms, my love. My breath is restricted too. Just an amazing write and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Liu, what are your thoughts?
You know, I agree with Pam. This is just fantastic storytelling. You know, you go into something that all of us can feel and can feel that, and at times have been in the same situation. You know, when you're in love with an artist and each one has their own art that they glow in, even though it may at times, like, it, the muse can be fickle, but when it writes, it just, it's spectacular. And also, you know, so easy for the other person to be so jolly, like you bring out here, and easygoing. And, you know, you do. When they're at work, you know, you think of them. And, you know, you can just envision them, what they're doing in the art studio, painting with brushes and wishing those touches of the hands and lips were on your body. But yet you finally, you know, you go visit them at their studio. And unfortunately, you find that he's in somebody else's arms. And, you know, you don't... the anger that just builds, you know. You know, your father who tells you don't put up with this type of shit and this betrayal. And then you, for some reason, your muse just comes alive, anger, and you take that pen and you just lay it all over the page as a release and satisfaction, knowing you're never touching me again. Fabulous poem, Katie. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Well, I hope you don't end up in jail, Kate.
Well, they can't find me. They can't find me because I grew a beard.
Oh man,
this is so well. I just love, you know your descriptions throughout it. You know, I struggle with my muse, so elusive, always that one solitary step ahead. And then, you know, when you go into the room, that description, I slip like a shadow into the room, eyes adjusting, dust melts, dancing in a shaft of sharp sunlight, piercing through a rip in the curtains, and find you both in bed. You know, that is such a great, great line. So, such descriptive words in that, just so well written throughout. Bravo, Kate. Wonderful, stunning right here.
Well, thank you very much. You're being far too kind, but thank you.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Weaver, would you like to make a comment on your poem?
It came out of nowhere, but it was when you, I was querying whether you had a show on, and I thought, I'll do something. And so I wrote this, and I don't know where it came from or why. And why I want to kill people with swords? No idea. But it was great fun.
It works too.
Oh dear, yeah, good fun. Thank you.
That's great. Awesome. Thank you, Weaver, for sharing. And Pam Ray, you're up next, please.
All right. This is the blood and sweat upon a blank canvas. Was blood and sweat splattered across the ugliness of humanity. In this new dawn of violence awakened, Gothic towers rise in accordance with sacrificial appetites. Mechanical monstrosities hiss, hooded vipers craving the flesh of castaway children in ghetto streets, slopped like hogs going to market. Imagery of torment, lascivious flames licking the gonads of a pimp, praying to a god of porcelain, powdery residue clinging to the workhorse's last inhale. There is love and there is hate. Anything else is mediocrity in the making. Art reveals all, stripping away fibers until we become the nothing we are meant to be. Tell me what you crave. Tell me what you ache to walk away from. Pause and take notice. Bread and butter is molding at the doorsteps of holy buildings. Howling dogs with rabid indignities and gnashing teeth at the Achilles heel of acetone memories, burning the core into twisting licorice flesh. Cosmic knives cutting away ignorance scrawled upon palms and breasts. A brushstroke shows no mercy to the canvas that begs to stay a blank stare. End poem.
Wow. That was a powerful write, Pam. Very in your face and profound in its depth. You know, it's a very deep poem on the subject of modern living and, you know, all that goes on with that. And I really enjoyed your title as well, The Blood and Sweat Upon a Blank Canvas. And then when you closed it out with a brushstroke shows no mercy to the canvas that begs to stay blank, haunting. Powerful and definitely very, very well written and read. Thank you so much for sharing, Pam.
Thank you.
And Weaver, what did you think?
Yeah, so powerful. I thought it was amazing. And your alliteration is so much fun. You don't overdo it. It's just there. It's not even. I only noticed it because I'm sitting here looking at it again and again. So, yeah, but it sounds wonderful when you do it. Mechanical monstrosities hiss, hooded vipers craving the flesh of castaway children. Ah, very, very good. But it's my favorite, my very favorite. There is love and there is hate. Anything else is mediocrity in the making. Art reveals all, stripping away fibers until we become the nothing we are meant to be. I love that. That is so good. Yep. It basically, don't try and pretend to be something you're not, because you'll be found out. It's as simple as that. But beautifully done, because you said it so much better. But yes, I did enjoy this very much. You're so clever. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you exposed the darkness of what we see how humans treat humans. You know, everybody can be sacrificed. It doesn't matter, your grandmother, the woman, the pregnant woman, child, nothing matters, you know. Kids in so many ways are thrown away, and they live on the streets where they're vulnerable to drugs and being sexually molested and being sent out as pimps for adult men, which is just absolutely sickening, just for the green, you know. It doesn't matter. You talk about the craving and what you can walk away from. You know, that has two meanings for me. One is, are you willing to help, or are you just going to ignore what you see? Or are you going to change and stop violating all these things that are just horrific? And, you know, and then you go into that the acetone memories burning the core into twisting licorice flesh, you know. You could just see that. I could, you know, people just dying on the street. And, you know, is it ignorance, or are you just have no humanity, or no conscience. And, you know, you brought this out beautifully because you may stare at that canvas that is blank but is so dirty with marks of the things that happen in society. Fantastic, powerful, and well-pinned, Pam.
Thank you very much.
And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, my gracious. This is just, wow, such a powerful poem, you know, that just sticks with you. You know, I can't really much add to what Luya said. That was an awesome, awesome comment there. You know, tell me what you crave. Tell me what you ache to walk away from. Pause and take notice. Bread and butter and mold is molding at the doorsteps of holy building. Howling dogs with rabid indignities are gnashing teeth at the ashes teal of acetone memories burning the core with twisted licorice flesh. Wow, you know, that's so powerful. Such a brilliant, clever write, and you know, in a way so haunting, you know. And you know, where the way you dig up all these atrocities that are going on. So bravo, Pam, you know, just a wonderful, powerful, thought-provoking, right, indeed.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Great comment. Yep. Thank you. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Pam?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this was inspired by the classic poem from Lawrence Ferlinghetti, In Goya's Greatest Scenes We Seem to See. And I highly recommend, when everybody gets a chance, if you haven't already, make sure to read that poem. And really, everyone was so spot on in this in their comments, because there's basically two points I was trying to get across, and that is that we live in a time where there is still violence, there is still mistreatment, there is still a disrespect for life and humanity. And I also wanted to get across the point that it's an artist, whether it's a painter or a poet, our job is to not just entertain people and not just, you know, show the beautiful, although there's nothing wrong with that, but we also have to be willing to show the ugliness of the world, because if we don't, who else is going to? And that's where, you know, a brushstroke shows no mercy to the canvas that begs to stay a blank stare. You know, people can pretend to be ignorant about what's going on in the world, but if we show it to them, they can't say at least that we didn't try to show them. So, sorry, didn't mean to go on too much of a soapbox there. But, yeah, so I really loved everyone's comments, and thank you.
Great job, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Lou, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Oof, hope I can read it. Spilling poetic virtue. You tell me. Spill it all. Don't change your inner style. You're sensitive, intuitive, glimmer in my eyes. Your lyrics empower me. The rhythm of your beat infuses me. Don't hide tears, pain. Speak. Preach. We all go insane, rising from violence, strangled. Beatings couldn't keep me silent. Opinions damaged. Nah. My lips are delicate. Tongue blasts like a bullet. My words can be soft, inspiring, and template. Years heighten my sensitivity, finger stained in blurry, fearful imagery, attempted to assimilate, assassinate my innocence. My simple character by action show uncompassionate, blessed to understand, wisdom loving my blood's blood. Spilling poetic virtue, love is something freely given. Mourn, dew glistens, golden rays drape my midnight losses. Apologies, maybe. If I offended, suspicions are never mended. My opinions are rebellious. I fought the chains of submission. Darkness fills my pupils with laughter, my protest, my heartbeat of survival. Poetry, lyrical echoes reflect pulse, my origin, harmonies, poetic artistry. End poem.
Beautiful read, and that's a powerful poem. It really speaks to the artist in you and, you know, the strength of the warrior in you as well. You know, you battled through everything, and I thought you captured the essence of sensitivity brilliantly, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful poem, as are you. And thank you for sharing. Absolutely. Weaver, what did you think?
Ah, I'm muted. I thought it was beautiful. Really. I mean, it's just, I could feel anger and pain and compassion and loving and all of that. All of that is in this poem. And I know that when you love totally. And of course, the other side of that coin is when you hate with a passion. But you're not vindictive. You know, you would never be vindictive. You just are, you're tearful for people who are not happy. And if their actions aren't as compassionate as yours would be, you try and understand them, which I think is wonderful. But you don't, it's not an eye for an eye with you. It's let me help you across the road. And I like that very much. yes, so I thought it was beautifully written, and thank you so much for sharing this one, because it's a cracker.
Thank you, Weaver.
Wonderful, wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
This is a beautiful and powerful write. I love how raw and honest it is, and how you show people your true self. And, you know, too often people think that because somebody is loving and sensitive, that means weakness. But it truly isn't a weakness.
No.
It's a strength, you know. And I really like this all the way through, but especially years heightened by sensitivity, fingertips stained in blurry, fearful images, attempt to assimilate, assassinate my innocence, my simple character, but actions show I'm compassionate, blessed to understand. Wisdom, loving my blood, spilling poetic virtue. Love is something freely given. And I do like how you speak on, you know, how the experiences of life have taught you to freely give love and yet at the same time be protective of yourself and those that you care about. So just an amazing, hard-hitting write all the way through, and very well done, Lou.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is amazing, Lou. You know, it shows all the facets of your personality, your wonderful personality. You know, it digs in deep into your soul and who you are. And, you know, I just love, you know, the last stanza there. Darkness fills my pupils, laughter my protest, my heartbeat of survival, poetry, lyrical echoes, reflect pulse, my origins, harmonies, poetic artistry. And, you know, that brings it back, you know, to your writing and you know, just how much, you know, your origins are important, and you know that keep that harmony. I think, you know, you're all about keeping a harmony in your in your personal life, and harmony is very important to you. And yeah, it's just it's wonderful. Like Pam said, you know, you're strong, you know, and it reveals to us, you know, really sincerely who you are. So very, very striking and wonderful right here, Louie.
Thank you, Naomi.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And would you like to sing that before?
Nopers.
Okay.
No.
By Poetic Picasso. And congratulations on your gold, apparently. And so he has a SoundCloud number, play that.
You undress before me slowly, displaying your exquisite nudity, like a sexy, exotic dancer, with such a penetrated seduction. I nibble your tender ears and echo my intimate whispers, Spanish temptation enrapturing you in the floral drops of a perfumed scent. I stroke the softness of your skin and begin to sip from your deep bosom the moisture of your sweated nights, the heat of my artistic desires as I drink from your ruby lips, drenched in Parisian wine, sating the thirst of my parched lips, begging for your succulence. We pour sweet syrup over the contours of our aroused carnal flesh, the exclamation of a virginal bliss, of a delicious caramel taste, our wet bodies entangle in the silk sheets, covering our quivering hips. We burn deep within the sizzling embers of our penumbral lust, below the moonlit sky, shrouding the blanket of cobalt stars. My loins billow with the passionate fire of your moan of orgasmic surrender. We glow like two ardent fireflies, glistening in our erotic dance. Me pierdo la humedad de la noche, con el calor de tu rico beso caliente. Quiero conocer tu pasión que me excita, ser el sensual amante que te conquista. I get lost in the humidity of the night with the warmth of your juicy, hot kiss. I want to know your passion that excites me. Be the sensual lover that conquers you. Blow on my saxophone. Ole. Ole. End of poem.
Is that the shower of cold water here in the background? steamy read and write, you know, he really has a talent for seductive and sensual poetry, and his reads are astronomical. Just a fantastic job, Frank. Beautifully written and well read. Weaver, what did you think?
Mm-hmm. I think Weaver passed out.
Oh, I think I had it. What are you doing to me, man? This is not allowed. I'm too old for this. Oh, my goodness me. I don't know what to do. I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much. But did you have to start with? I mean, did you? You've got to think about my heart, Frank. You undressed before me slowly, displaying your exquisite nudity, like a sexy, exotic dancer with such a penetrating. I don't need to hear that. Please, cut it down a little bit at the beginning. Please, me into the I'm sorry, I'm terrible. My levity is really bad, but I can't help it. You just get me so excited. Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing these, and you did not disappoint. So, bravo.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, I will say Frank definitely brought the heat to Bad Company all the way through. Wonderful seduction. I love the playing around with different tastes and textures. We pour sweet syrup over the contours of our aroused carnal flesh, the exploration of the virginal bliss of a delicious caramel taste, bodies entangled in the silk sheets covering our quivering hips. Just absolutely brilliant sensual writing and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Lou Wilder, what did you think?
Okay. I loved it when I heard him reading. I nibbled your tender ears and echo my intimate whisper. Banish temptation enrapturing you in the floral drops of perfume scent. And then he goes in with my loins billow with the passionate fire of your moan of orgasmic surrender. And then he says in Spanish, tempting everyone, con el calor de tu rico beso caliente. This is passionate, it's sexy, and muy, muy delicioso. Okay, I'm good. Oh, man.
And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, deep and passionate and for sure a precursor to cold showers, for sure. Just his voice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have to stop at, you know, the description. My gracious tonight. I have to stop at the descriptive sentences in this poem, like we burn deep within the sizzling embers of our penumbral lust below the skylight, the skylit sky shrouding the blanket of cobalt stars. You know, what beautiful lines those are. And, you know, of course, you know, there's very many passionate passages, but Frank also has the ability to put in beauty and beautiful lines and a beautiful, create a beautiful ambiance, you know, around what's going on. So I really love that. So thank you, Frank. And wow, just hot as usual.
Great comments, everybody. And I've got the next poem up, and this is by Darkened Auras. And I'll give this a read. Okay, here we go. This is called Nature's Orchestra. Tip, tip, tap. The rain begins its lullaby upon the roof, rhythmic and serene, as I close my eyes and listen to the beat. Tip, tip, soon the droplets begin to echo, reverberating a louder, harsher tone, still comforting, still calming and serene. Tip, 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 tap, 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 tip, tip, tap, tap, tip, tap, tip, tap. Now the choir has kicked in, full-fledged harmony, my eyes still closed, my mind at rest, and my subconscious entwined in a beautiful dreamscape. No longer in bed, but at the foot of a rushing waterfall, I go to stand beneath it and cleanse myself in pure waters. Waking up soaking wet from the crescendo of rainfall, splashing through an open window I'd forgot to close, as I had wanted to hear the concert of nature. End poem. And I liked it. You know, it really captures the essence of rain And, you know, it's a powerful role that it has in our life. You know, it's very hypnotic and mesmerizing when you can just close your eyes and listen to it. And then, but to wake up to it soaking wet because you left a window open, that's another point of view. But, yeah, it was just a fantastic write. Excellently done, Dark and Doris. And it was a pleasure to read for you. And what did you think, Weaver?
Nature's orchestra. Yes, beautiful. There is nothing more of a lullaby for somebody who's anxious than to hear rain. On a tin roof is lovely, but it's nice on like canvas in a tent. These little enclosed spaces where you can be really comfortable and cozy, and then to hear the rain outside just makes that comforting and makes it more cozy and just makes you want to relax. As long as you're not out in it. If you're comfy, cozy, that's fine. But yes, I thought this was beautiful. So you're having a dream and you're listening to the rain, and you're obviously going to dream of water. You're no longer in bed, but at the foot of a rushing waterfall. I go to stand beneath it and cleanse myself in pure waters. That's lovely. That is lovely. I know how that feels because I was cycling in up in the Highlands, and we got to a pool amongst the mountains, and salmon were trying to get back to their spawning ground. So I sat and watched these salmon trying to jump up the waterfall and carry on, because that was the direction they had to go instinctively. And then I got into the water, and it was the most incredible feeling. Feeling those fish sliding past and leaping, and it was great. So I totally understand how the rain and water can be such a wonderful feeling. So yes, it was beautifully written. Very well done. Thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this one. You did a great read of it, great. I like how she not only uses imagery, but the sounds, the tip, 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 tap, tap, you know, to create the rain and the atmosphere of the rain. And she really brings it to life. Very relatable piece. I like how that near the end she says, waking up soaking wet from the crescendo of the rainfall, splashing through an open window I'd forgotten to close, as I had wanted to hear the concert of nature. I think concert of nature is just a wonderful line, and I like how those stanzas speak on the idea that rain can go from something that's very gentle, very soothing, to this like raging downpour that soaks you. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Lou had to hang up because she was coughing, but she said she'll call back.
Okay, thank you. Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this park. You know, now the choir has kicked in, full-fledged harmony. My eyes still closed, my mind at rest, and my subconscious entwined in a beautiful dreamscape. You know, it caught the essence there of the tap, tip-tapping of the rain. And, you know, on your subconscious and the way it relaxes you and just gives you a sense of peacefulness. So a very well done piece indeed.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next write-up. This is by Hope Soul. If you wouldn't mind giving this a read, please, Weaver.
Yes, of course. My pleasure. I'll just do a refresh. Refresh. Oh, come on. Oh, got it. I like when it appears. Is this just spilt milk, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, thank you. Cardamom pods erupt seeds. Pop balls of glass rotating on a steel rod, molded by the hellfire flames, raked against the coals. crackling discontent that stirs the red bow. White ruffles connected to black plated buttons. Tightly closes his blouse, metal wired milk crate. Holds two large jugs of lecky, early morning deliveries. Hits 4 to 5 times a week. 3 clicks from his rifle. Bang, bang, bang. He shot me down. Cherry cordials housed by 60% bitter sweet cocoa. Brush between the index finger and thumb. Running punch drunk lemonade that ruined my Sunday dress. End poem.
Wow. And this is based on the picture prompt, I think. And this is, that was painted by her mate, Nuno Cordosa. And I thought she captured it brilliantly. I mean, I really liked the imagery. And, you know, you could feel the power of her imagery as you read through it. 3 clicks from his rifle. Bang, bang, bang. He shot me down. Cherry cordials housed by 60% bittersweet chocolate. Burst between index finger and thumb. Running punch drunk lemonade that ruined my Sunday dress. You know, that was a fantastic poem. Beautifully written and excellently read, Weaver. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is brilliant imagery and metaphors. I love how there's a kind of there's a sensuality to it that's very intense. Right from the beginning, cardamoms, pops, pods, erupt, seeds, pop, bulbs of glass, rotating on a steel rod molded by the hellfire flames, raked across the coals. In a nearby town, you know, actually in several towns, but we have glass blowing shops where you can actually watch the people like blow the glass and rotate it and form it. She captures that kind of fascinating movement so very well. I also really like how there's kind of a bite of humor in 3 clicks from his rifle. Bang, bang, bang. He shoot me down. Cherry coils housed by 60% bittersweet cocoa. It sounds like she really got knocked off her feet for a bit of a swooning. So just an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, I really enjoy Hopeful's poetry, and especially when she's writing for her sweetheart and his fantastic artwork and, you know, the visionary that she sees here. You know, this just reminded me of when I live with my abuelita, and she would have me go out and pick up the glass milk bottles of leche, which is milk, you know, and, you know, just tripping, making the wrong turn, you know, just hitting her beautiful white ruffles and black plated buttons on her tightly closed blouse, like crepe just hit her and just spilled, I don't know, three bottles of very rich milk just running down her breast and her stomach. And, you know, that silliness you feel, you know, when somebody hits you with the crate of milk, the feeling that they have, like, oh, God, I hit her and she's, you know, she's in her Sunday best and I just dropped leche all over the place, all over her, and not meaning to, you know, being his happy self running punch drunk lemonade, you know, and unfortunately it ruined her Sunday dress. So, you know, I agree that there is some, you know, sensuality in here. I could just see, you know, because when you wet a dress with, you know, especially that type of dress, exposes your body parts, and I thought that she did that fantastic.
Excellent comment, Lou. Thank you. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, yes. It was It was what I would have expected, beautifully written, very concise and well thought out, exactly what she wanted us to hear. Beautiful done. And like you, I love that little bit of humour. Bang, 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 he shot me down. Because the next line is bang, bang, I hit the ground. It's a song by somebody. I don't know who, but that's, I think, what that line comes from. So, yes. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Hope so. It was, and I love the picture prompt. It was really, whoa. That's explosive. So, yes, beautifully done. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. Rehearsing for a play called Mind, Your Own Damn Business by Nuno Cardoso. The mobs of mist whisper to an actor that weeps tiny downpour. The children toil in the slave theater, rehearsing for a play called Mind, Your Own Damn Business. Water drops slither and crawl down palate stackers that pierce this poet's eyeballs and worm their way down dairy products. Master chef, yogurts, eggs, and cheese talk to me and confess that no scalpel can puncture or slice off Bomberman out of an inapportable gray enigma that meets a mother of two bluebirds that have cut off the wings of the morning sun. The benign ticking time bomb grants peepers multiple stop signs, two roads leading to two hospital penitentiaries, many homes with children and multiple husbands, yet only one of each is palatable. Pregnant hormones shield, volatile bangs of a woman's prophecy with the birth of a sunflower that blooms for 7 years. Maria, the covenant dove, gods have been merciful on chopaic fire petals that chocolate their way down to a morning cereal kind kiss of offspring. Let me jot down these poems, these faint shards of memories broken by cocktails of foolish dreams, pink risperidone and white Zoloft devils mixed with beer, with acid rains of rainbow squares and grass or harsh planted by farmers with knives that fail to remove this maternal worry out of this poet's mind. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Pam. And that was a fascinating poem, really filled with incredible imagery and metaphor. You could feel the heavy emotion in this, as you read through it. And I thought it was just hard-hitting and impactful. What did you think, Weaver?
Yes, I agree. That's a deep, full of angst poem. I love the title. Rehearsing for a play called Mind Your Own Damn Business. You'd love to say that, wouldn't you? So good. Oh, I like this stanza. Water drops slither and crawl down pallet stackers, poet's eyeballs and worm their way down to dairy products. Very good. Sorry, I do this a lot. I get lost in the poem and forget to talk. So yes, I thought it was very, very good, and I enjoyed it so much. So thank you for sharing.
Great comment, thank you, Weaver. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was a deeply moving personal poem by Nuno, where he's expressing the pain and the things that he saw happening. And when you can't stop the suffering of your own mother, somebody you love, you know, when somebody is ill, you cannot control the things that they do or the things that they say. You know, sometimes the multiple husbands are due to because they can't deal with a sickness that somebody is suffering. And, you know, it is so difficult, you know, because my mom had cancer that could have killed her and metastasized, and they cut up her body. And, you know, he brings it here, you know, pills. You got to take pills. You got to take pills. That's all I have to say. And nobody needs to be judged for that and for their illness. And right here, this just, you know, touched me deeply. Pregnant hormone shield, volatile bangs of a woman's prophecy with the birth of a sunflower that blooms for 7 years. Maria, the covenant dove, God have been merciful on the I don't know how to pronounce that word, I'm sorry. Fire petals that chocolate the way down, the morning cereal, kind kiss of offspring. You know, when we show love, even though we've been hurt to our own mother, you know, that is a blessing. We need to love our parents and try to help them. And, you know, even though it is hard with us to deal with, you know, it's always a worry you always have. Will they get sick again? Fantastic poem, you know, and artwork.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
This has brilliant imagery and metaphors all the way through. I love how it has a surreal style, and yet it isn't a gentle surreal style. It really doesn't hold back on the punches. I also really appreciated Lou's comment because I felt it helped me to understand this poem more. You know, I saw it at the idea of how oftentimes the broken pain of the individual families go unnoticed. But Lou helped me to see it in a deeper way. I really like the benign ticking time bomb grants peepers multiple stop signs, two roads leading to two hospitals, penitentiaries, you know, and that. And let me jot down these poems, these faint shards of memories broken by cocktails of foolish dreams. Just absolutely a powerful, heartfelt right, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Lou, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, give me a second. Let me refresh. You want me to read Naomi's poem?
Yes, please.
Alone by Naomi Sarah. The tree in front of the house has lost all its leaves. They disappeared overnight. I don't remember raking them. The tree has lost all its leaves except one. When the wind picks up, it flutters frantically at the end of its branch. It looks like someone waving at me in distress. Maybe she is drowning, struggling not to sink. I wave my hand and close the curtain, knowing she'll still be there tomorrow. End poem.
Beautiful read, Leah. I never really enjoyed the poem. You know, it speaks to the passing of time gone unnoticed. And, you know, but you do see this leaf, this individual leaf waving at you. And, you know, you wave back and close your curtains knowing that she'll still be there in the morning. Just a powerful, right? Excellently written and beautifully read, Leah, as well. So thank you for sharing, Naomi. And Weaver, what did you think?
Hello, I'm here. Sorry. Yes. So much in this. It's, very sad. When the wind picks up, it flutters frantically at the end of its branch. So that's one leaf. Looks like someone waving at me in distress. Maybe she's drowning, struggling not to sink. That's a wonderful way to look at what's happening. That the trees are losing their leaves, but you know they're hanging on. They're trying to stay. They're trying to stop winter from arriving and freezing everybody. So that is just beautifully put in this particular poem. So she waves her hand and closes the curtains, knowing she'll still be here tomorrow. Very nice. Very nice. But beautifully done. Thank you, Naomi, for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, wow. This is just an amazing emotive write. A beautifully written brevity. I like how she uses the focuses in on the tree as an extended metaphor and for a representation of loss and loneliness. I particularly like, it looks like someone waving at me in distress. Maybe she is drowning, struggling not to sink. Just amazing lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Liu, you read it. What did you think?
I thought this was beautifully sad. You know, sometimes, like Pam was pointing out, we connect to something in nature and we see ourselves in it. You know, we can feel alone and we go out there and work in the yard, work in the plant. And like here, she said she's raking her weed, but, you know, she looks up and she sees that the only one left is that one leaf. And sometimes I'm sure we all feel at one time that we're that one leaf and we're dealing with all the winds that try to blow us and take us down. And, you know, that little leaf is up there just sticking to the tree with its stem, you know, and, you know, the weather's hitting it, the wind's hitting it, snow, everything, the changes, just like we go through life, our changes. And sometimes we feel like we're drowning, you know, and, you know, that we hope that we're just not going to, we'll give up. And you close those curtains because the leaf reminds you of you trying to struggle to hold on to that tree of so many issues and problems you're dealing with. And you know that when you open that window the next morning, that little leaf will still be there. And that is you there trying to survive. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Leah. So we've got 2 minutes left, so I think I'm going to call it a night. And I thank you, ladies, for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, ladies. Good night, all.
Love you, Greg. Great show.
Love you, too.
Good night, everybody. Sleep well.
Good night. You too, Weaver. Get some sleep, because, God, I know it's early in the morning.
Yeah. First time, my God.
And, yeah.
Hello, some
love you guys.
Love you. Bye-bye,
love you, Pam,
everybody.
Weaver, Greg. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Love you.